This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAprepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAprepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Fennelli.
Everyone all set? Cocked, locked. Here we go. Your dial set correctly to USA Prepares. Thank you for being in class with us today. Hour number one, we're going to be talking with Kevin in Florida about appliance repairs and do-it-yourself maintenance. Hour number two, Kathy in Ohio is going to be with us, and we're going to be talking about money-saving tips for you and your family. I've got a couple quick comments before Kevin comes on with us. He'll be on just a couple, maybe 2 minutes. Something that really happened yesterday that really bothers me. Buffalo, New York. It's headline news. So a lone man walking on the sidewalk. He had a face mask on. He had no weapons, no bricks, no sticks, no stones. Just a guy, 75-year-old white-haired man. He was brutally attacked by the Buffalo City, New York police. There are about 50 cops in riot gear, batons, weapons, helmets. You know what it is. Body armor, those kinds of things. So about 50 of these cops against one 75-year-old man who wanted to talk to them. He was shoved backwards. He fell backwards. Like he was sucker punched, went down instantly, hit his head on the back of his head on the sidewalk, cracked his skull. He lay unconscious, bleeding. One cop wanted to stop and help him, the one that pushed him over, and some other cop pushed him out of the way to keep going, keep marching. So this man lay unconscious on the sidewalk, bleeding. The man's in the hospital. He's in stable condition. The cops' names are not named, and neither is the man. If he dies, all 50 cops who marched in attack formation should be charged with third-degree murder, all 50 of them. They didn't help. And the two cops who shoved him to the ground, second-degree murder. Now, the two cops were suspended, but they weren't arrested. They should be in jail right now. All 50 should be in jail right now. The Buffalo City Police, Buffalo, New York, should be disbanded. Now, Americans are getting to see firsthand why countries all over the world dislike us. We're brutal. We're vicious. And now we're doing it to our own. We used to beat up little countries all over the world for their natural resources. Now we're beating up our own. It's got to stop. Kevin's with us. We're going to be talking about appliances. Welcome, Kevin.
Good morning. What's new?
Boy, am I frosted. Kevin, do you have any comments about what I just said? Did you hear that story? Or is that
I did. I'm pretty frosted myself, too. It's going to be hard to focus on appliances this morning. But, it's nasty on both sides. You know, I know there's peaceful protesters somewhere in the mix, usually during the daytime, whose intentions are good, and they're absolutely right. Police brutality has been out of control for many decades in this country, and so has the black-on-black crime, the black-on-white crime, the white-collar crime. And, you know, the white-collar guys are just going to take advantage of this and use it to meet their ends. And I think in the end, this is going to end up with a black boot on the face for quite a long time. I don't think we're ever going to recover, unfortunately.
And if there is a black boot on our necks and face, there will be a whole bunch of Americans with 30-30s, 308s, 30-06s, 223s, 556s, etc. that are going to come out of the woodwork. And we recommended here, I recommended to President Donald Trump, do not deploy the National Guard. Do not do it. And he said he was going to do it. And then he backed down. Somebody might be listening to USA Prepares at the White House. Because we said when he didn't stop the flights from China and Europe, we said stop the flights for the coronavirus. They didn't do it. And then we hammered and hammered and hammered, and finally they did it. And we said that there would be a they'd be rioting in the streets if they the payments of $1,200 to every man, woman, and child in the United States. That was just to delay the rioting. And here we are. We called it right time after time after time. I'm not bragging. This is easy to see. But the mainstream doesn't see it. So here we are in our homes, and we've got appliances. And, Kevin, I wanted to ask you a question since you are an appliance repair professional. And that is, we talked about refrigerators. And, you know, we have a built-in refrigerator and a built-in freezer in our kitchen. So instead of having a combo refrigerator freezer, we have a box that is 17 cubic feet. It's all refrigerator. And right next to it, we have a matching freezer that's all freezer. So we have 17 cubic feet of refrigeration and 17 cubic feet of refrigerator. So one's a freezer, one's a refrigerator, they're side by side. So instead of just sticking the freezer out in the garage, we have it in our kitchen. Now, it's surrounded by cabinetry, and you know, I clean out those coils all the time, the condenser coils, to keep the dust off them so that they operate more efficiently. But here's the question. Many of us have these kinds of refrigerators or refrigerator freezers or freezers pushed up against the wall, the back wall. Now, the reason I'm mentioning that is, Kevin, what is the possibility for adequate circulation if you push the refrigerator all the way back against the wall rather than pull it out an inch or two from the back wall?
It just suffocates the refrigerator, essentially. It overheats the coils and lessens the lifespan of the refrigerator. I always recommend a minimum of 4 inches from the back wall.
Okay, and some people are thinking, whoa, you want me to pull the refrigerator out 4 inches and I'm going to lose 4 inches of floor space in front of the refrigerator. So the reason that I believe these refrigerators and freezers, et cetera, are pushed all the way back is because people don't want to yield that real estate to the refrigerator. But it's refrigerator suicide if you don't keep that at least a couple inches, right? Minimum a couple inches, Kevin?
Yes.
Okay.
At least.
All right. Okay, so Kevin, I'm your student today as well as the rest of the class. What would you like to teach us about appliance repairs and do-it-yourself maintenance?
Well, I was thinking we could talk about troubleshooting. I actually have a methodology that I picked up from my main teacher, the Master Samurai Scott, who owns Appliantology.org and MasterSamuraiTech.com, which is where I've gotten a lot of my education from. And this method of troubleshooting is called the 10-step tango.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay, it goes like this. So the first step is you formulate the basic problem statement on your own. You know, usually the customers will say, it's leaking on the inside or something. And we've talked about this. When I first hear that, I can say, okay, it's probably a blocked defrost drain. That's just an example. So you formulate the problem statement no matter what the appliance. The next step, step two, is to download the schematic or find the paper schematic on the appliance. Not to be confused with a wiring diagram. Wiring diagrams are usually a little bit more messy, and they actually label the wires, but schematics are more boiled down and simplified. And so you do a schematic overview, and the step three is you identify your load of interest, the part or the system, the circuit that you think is the possible problem. Step four is to do a circuit analysis on that load of interest. You know, according to the service manual, what is the voltage output or input? What is the resistance specifications that need to be tested on this particular component? You test that. Step five is to formulate a troubleshooting hypothesis. Now, I think this is the issue. I suspect this is the issue. I'm going to test it. So we'll go back over the first five steps. One, formulate the problem statement. Two, check out the schematic. Three, identify the load of interest or the part or area you think is acting up. Four, do a circuit analysis on those parts or the load of interest. And five, formulate the troubleshooting hypothesis. Any questions so far?
No, very good, very good. Please continue.
Okay, so step six is to identify the electrical measurements to confirm the hypothesis and the expected reading for those measurements. So, of course, you use your multimeter. You're either going to test the voltage, resistance, continuity with ohms, with the resistance, or the amp draw. So at step six, you're actually going to do the testing. When you look at a schematic, you'll see dots where wires or circuits meet, and those are called electric equivalent points. So step seven is to identify those electric equivalent points, or EEPs, as we call them, at which to make the electrical measurements. So oftentimes on a control board, you'll see an empty spot that looks like solder that you can actually test, and it'll be identified on the schematic with that dot, like I said. Step eight is to perform the electrical measurements. I know it seems like maybe a little too many steps just to get to the point, but each step's crucial. So step eight is to perform the measurement, and then step nine is to perform the or compare the electrical measurements with the expected readings or specs. Step 10 is to make the repair and then check the operation. So even if I suspect it's a bad drain pump on a washer or a dishwasher, and it's, you know, something I've seen 1,000 times, I'll still oftentimes take my voltmeter out and test that drain pump is getting the voltage it needs to drain, but it's not doing its job. So I will identify where that load is on the schematic. If I can test it from the control board to see that the control board's outputting to the drain pump without having to take the whole thing apart, I'll do that.
Okay,
Yes, sir.
Okay, so that leads to the question, Kevin. What are the reasons for these failures? What causes them? Is it operator error? Is the operator doing something that the manual says, whatever you do, don't do this? Or is it substandard manufacturing? Is it poor design? What is the number one cause of appliance failures?
We could leave a little cliffhanger here, and I can let y'all know when we get back.
Let's do that.
So you're wearing a mask every day now?
Yeah.
Where are you getting them?
Same website where I get my neck and body wraps, sunnybay.com.
Really?
And they're handmade, just like their wraps in the USA.
Oh, and good quality?
Oh, very good. These are disposable face masks, and they make cloth face masks, too.
Good price?
That's the best part. 10 masks for only $6.
Wow.
As a public service, sunnybay.com is now making cloth face masks by hand in the Seattle area and sourcing disposable face masks with level 1 protection at sunnybay.com. Get a 10-pack of high-quality disposable face masks for only $6 or choose a handmade, washable, reusable cloth face mask with high 2 layers of quality cotton fabrics. Supplies are limited. Get details and order at sunnybay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Go to sunny-bay.com for disposable or cloth face masks. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
Kevin's in Florida, and he is an appliance repair technician. He has his own shingle out. He's in business for himself. And he's teaching us about appliance repairs and ways to approach the diagnostics and figure out what's wrong with your appliance. So, generally speaking, Kevin, we're talking about refrigerators, freezers, washers, dryers, dishwashers, garbage disposals, the whole enchilada. What is the reason, the general reason for the failures? Is it operator errors? Is it design problems? Is it poor quality manufacturing? What do you think it is?
Well, maintenance plays a good portion of that. I think people could use cleaning tablets to clean their washers and dishwashers and kind of follow the ideas that they provide in the manuals to leave the doors open and not overload the machine. But really, who's got time to do that, though? I mean, most people have large families and they wash clothes at least every other day, and the load sizes are pretty decent. So quite often I'll see suspension go bad on washing machines. That can be attributed to overloading, but I think substandard engineering is the main problem. I do see pretty common parts that I carry in my stock go bad, and the only reason I can see, why these parts would go bad within 5 years is because they weren't built to last.
Okay, so when you mentioned the washing machine, I believe you did. What I do when I wash clothes, I'm not allergic to washing clothes. What I do is I set it to the smallest load level, fill the washer up to that level and the agitator, it's an agitator type washer, and it starts agitating. And just before it started agitating, I've put in the dry powdered laundry detergent. Then, and that's so that I mix the laundry detergent with the water. Then I add the clothes and set it to a higher level. And I always set the water level higher than the minimum level that would be required for that load. So what I'm saying is I use more water. Now, some people might say that I'm wasting water. Other people might say that it's easier to swish those clothes around in the machine if there's more water to swish them around in, and it's easier on the motor, the transmission, and everything else. What are your thoughts about the way I do it, Kevin?
I think that's a great way to do it. I think a lot of people are quite surprised when they buy a new high-efficient washing machine and there's hardly any water soaking their clothes. They're usually, people will call me out and say, you know, it's not filling up and something's wrong. Unfortunately, that's the way it's designed. And somehow this is going to save you money, even though the machine's probably going to break in 5 years and you're going to have to buy a new one. I don't see how that's efficient for the environment or the customer.
Right. I'm with you. And so I'm willing to use more water and have less wear and tear per use of the machine. Now, I understand, Kevin, that with these high efficiency, and I think that's a misnomer when they call these high efficiency, because sometimes you have to wash the clothes twice to get enough water in there. But my understanding is that they are designed to work with a minimum pressure from the, we'll call it the faucet or the water supply, that if you have a well, you might not have the 40 pounds of pressure to operate that new washing machine, and you may not get enough water. Is that correct or not?
That's true. That's true. They used to rely mostly on float switches or pressure sensors to determine when it was full. Some of them actually just go on timers on the computer board processors now.
Okay, so what it sounds to me like what the engineers did was, somebody said, you know what, we don't have to have that extra switch in there, that pressure sensor that tells the water level, you know, as it rises in the tub, for example. We don't need that mechanical device that with a diaphragm and a hose that senses the water level. We can just do it by a timer. But everybody's water pressure is different. If you have a well, that's different from if you live at the lowest point in your city where, you know, all that water is pushing down on your washing machine. So you'd have more pressure if you lived at the lowest point. So I think that's a silly idea. But, you know, just changing a few lines of code in the program on the control board is cheaper than adding that pressure sensor or that level sensor or that water level sensor. We'll be right back.
You know what's really smart?
Wash your hands frequently, practice social distancing, and stay home if told to do so.
You know what's really dumb?
To ignore your immune system.
Right now, more than ever, your health depends on a strong immune system.
The experts at Immunocorp will give you their 7-step guide to immunity for life, free.
Why? Because we want you to be smart and healthy.
Simply call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com.
Immunocorp has been producing the world's leading immune system products for more than two decades.
To get your free 7-step guide to immunity for life, call 800-446-3063. 800-446-3063.
Be smart. Don't ignore your immune system. Your life depends on it.
Call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com. Immunityforlife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
A better direction in the latest jobs report despite the continued pandemic. The U.S. economy added 2.5 million jobs last month from the month before, and the nation's unemployment rate fell to 13.3%, the numbers reflecting a slight recovery of economic activity after 2 months of free fall because of the pandemic. This morning's report from the Labor Department is vastly better than what analysts have been expecting. Two of the four former Minneapolis cops charged in the killing of George Floyd have reportedly turned on Officer Derek Chauvin, who's been charged with second-degree murder after being seen in a video with his knee on Floyd's neck for nearly 9 minutes. Reports are the two rookie police officers who were also on scene appeared in court yesterday blaming Chauvin for Floyd's death. This is USA Radio News.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product. Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
A family of six has been found dead in an apparent murder-suicide in San Antonio, Texas, where police say that officers were performing a welfare check at a home in the Stone Oak neighborhood after the father didn't show up for work for a couple of days, and they found the bodies of the two adults and four children ranging in age from 11 months to 4 years, all dead inside the SUV, inside the garage, where they also smelled carbon monoxide, and their names have not yet been released. Lego is asking stores that sell its products not to advertise any of its toy sets that include pieces of police or the White House. The products are still being offered for sale, but the company says it's pausing all ads and promotion of such collections in response to the nationwide protests against the death of George Floyd, and they want the black community to know that Lego stands with them against racism and inequality, the move coming after the company donated $4 million to organizations that educate kids about racial tolerance. And a big asteroid is to whiz by the Earth tomorrow. Asteroid 2002 NN4, believed to be about 1,800 feet in diameter. NASA says it will pass us at a safe distance tomorrow, though scientists from around the world did gather at a conference last year purposely to discuss how to respond to its approach. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
With more people listening to radio than visit Google, Facebook, or YouTube, from the very young to the very old, everyone listens to radio. Pillow companies, alarm, identity theft, nutrition, insurance, banking, automotive, the list goes on and on. Billion-dollar businesses, why? The answer is radio, the media everyone tunes into. Find out how effective and affordable radio can be for your business. Contact 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com.
It's gonna be sliding.
What are today's hot?
Watch it.
God, you're
take my.
When you go to
the
for 2 seconds.
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAPrepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelli.
Kevin's with us in Florida. Kevin, when I wanted to buy a bulldozer, I called Joey in Michigan. I said, Joey, I'm thinking about buying a bulldozer. You have any suggestions? And he said, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, here are some models that you ought to consider. Here are the price points. Here's what makes them good. Here's what you need to avoid. He gave me the whole laundry list of who, what, when, where, why, and how that should go into my decision. Do you find people ask you for your advice as to what they should buy before they start looking, or do they just make uninformed bad decisions?
I get that question a lot, actually. About 10% of the time, the appliance isn't worth repairing. And so I'll often recommend a Whirlpool brand, Maytag, Whirlpool, KitchenAid, Roper, Amana. They've got a couple others. And I'll have to add a caveat that there are certain models, such as the French doors with the French door refrigerators, with the middle drawer that's actually another door with another gasket. We've seen a lot of problems with these. The idea of a refrigerator is called a sealed system. It completely relies on being its own environment on the inside and not letting any warm air or moisture in from the outside. I know that sounds quite obvious, but cars and households don't quite work the same way. They're not completely sealed off like a refrigerator should be. So when you have refrigerators like that, there's just more room for error, more room for air to come in. But anyways, so people do ask me that a lot before they go out and buy a new one. And I always say, you know, if you have any questions when you're shopping around, just give me a call.
That's wonderful. Okay, so the takeaway class is really simple based on what I heard Kevin say. And that is the more doors, the worse the design in terms of efficiency, in terms of freedom from repair. Next question, Kevin. So I was buying something that required a title in the good old days when, you know, before the Corona panic. And so the seller, this was on Craigslist, the seller said, well, come on in the kitchen, we'll fill out the paperwork. And I said, okay, great. So I'm in the kitchen, and there were these bright, brand-new washer and dryer set front load. And it was a small kitchen, and the housewife said, listen, just walk around that door. We have to leave that door open because otherwise we get mold in the washer. So what a dumb idea, you know, to have, number one, put the washer and dryer in the kitchen where you have to leave the door open and walk around it whenever you're in the kitchen. I mean, that's ridiculous. Number two is that you have to have the door open that's in the way in the front. It's like leaving a base cabinet door open. It would be in the way. Well, when I leave, when I'm done with the washing machine, I leave the lid open. It's not in anybody's way. What are your thoughts about that mold, the problem for mold, and what to do about it, and this design with the front door? What are your thoughts?
Most people don't ever want to go back to a front load washer after they've had one. And once the mold starts on the door gasket, it is really hard to get rid of it. You can scrub and you can use bleach and baking soda. It's just really hard to get rid of it, and you end up having to replace the door gasket, which, again, is another $100 to $200 part.
Yeah, I know. So I know a gal that had
them.
To have one. I know
right.
A gal that had to have one of those front-load washers, and it plagued her because it would walk. You know, it was one of the early models, and she had to be an early adopter of this idiotic technology. And when it would spin, it would walk away from the wall. And the only way to fix it in her world was to buy another front-load washer, which is, you know, just, you know, compounding the problem. Have you seen those kinds of problems?
Yes, and that gets back to the overloading it according to the manufacturer's suggestion and the shocks getting off balance. Oh, here's a tip. If you do have a front loader and you notice a wobble when the basket spins compared to the tub, you might want to stop making your loads as big, because the support that attaches that basket through the tub to the motor is fractured, and it's only going to get worse. And you probably don't even need to call an appliance repairman at that point, because once that basket starts to wobble and that support's fractured, the repair is going to be at least $500, and you might as well kiss it goodbye. I find a lot of people, you know, with limited space will take a front load washer and a dryer and stack the dryer on top. And they've got a kit to secure it to the washer and everything. And, of course, they've got a match and look nice and everything. However, I often have to turn those repairs down because, much like other appliance repairmen, I'm a one-man band, and I'm not going to take that dryer off by myself to get to the washing machine, take the top panel of the washer off. That's mostly how it's done. And oftentimes, you know, the customer doesn't have the strength or capability to help me take that dryer off. If I have to hire another guy to come out just to take the dryer off, I've got to charge them, you know, quite a bit more. So think about that before you put a dryer on top of your washing machine, folks.
So, Kevin, have you found that people have said to you, you know, I kind of wish I never bought this front load washer, and, you know, I really like to have my old one back, that they bought because they wanted the new, you know, candy apple red front load washer and dryer or stainless steel? Did they buy it for aesthetic reasons? Did they get these new appliances for aesthetic reasons rather than replacing something that was really old and just flat out worn out? What makes them do these stupid things?
Yes. Yeah, they absolutely buy it for aesthetic reasons. You know, oftentimes people will get their whole kitchens remodeled, and Lowe's or Home Depot will sell them a package deal of the same brand, but it's usually inferior products compared to the other models that they have, and they're just trying to liquidate them. Quite often, more than any other appliance, people say they're never going back to the front loader, and I wish I didn't give my kids the old Kenmore Whirlpool set that we had. They've been running fine. They've never even been repaired. You know, and they say, you know, I'm going to go get one of those analog old school ones with just the knobs. Well, unfortunately, they're very hard to find, especially new.
You know, you mentioned $200 for an appliance repair. I got to tell you, Kevin, I would be hard pressed to spend $200 on a washing machine because, you know, I used to find them for $50, maybe $75, maybe $100. So I bought, maybe three of them. I bought three washers, all with the same transmission, all in, not exactly the same, but I could cannibalize them, and they are the Whirlpool design. And the reason is, the last thing I want to do is have to buy a brand new washer that would last 5 years. I don't want to do it. So I bought a lifetime supply of used washing machines.
Well, that's what makes you Dumbledore of USA Prepares. Having what you need before you need it.
Well, that's what preparedness is, right? What else would you like to share with us in the appliance world and do-it-yourself repairs and maintenance?
Well, I might finish off the pressure switch thing regarding the washing machine, because that might be a simple repair that somebody could run into one day. Take, for example, the older direct drive styles that you and I both have and will probably always have because they're the most reliable. Quite often, if that gets off balance, if the tub gets off balance, it can rub the pressure switch tube up against the inner body, and it can put a little tiny hole in that pressure switch tube, and that's enough to make that pressure switch lose its pressure, which tells it to stop filling, and then it overflows the tub, and you don't know until it actually happens. That's one of the downsides to the direct drive washers. So if it starts getting off balance quite a bit, folks, just take care of the suspension before the problem gets worse. On the other hand, an upside to the more advanced ones is they do still have that pressure switch tube, which basically just acts as a safeguard so that you don't overflow the tub and flood your house. So it doesn't tell it necessarily how much water's in there. It just tells it, you know, when we're not getting any pressure, just start draining. So if your washer is just constantly draining for no reason, that's probably the issue, is that pressure switch tube. And usually you can take your model number, type it into Google, add pressure switch tube to the end of that, and find the part pretty quickly. You might just want to, you know, if you're getting that issue, it's just constantly draining for no reason, I don't know why, go ahead and order that pressure switch tube. It might be $10, but that's a very simple repair that anybody could take care of.
Yeah, and I would think that if you absolutely had to in a emergency situation, you could wrap it with electrical tape to, you know, if there was a small hole in it, to just to cover up that hole, right?
Well, I'd probably choose something more like a strong adhesive or a rubber cement or something, because it is a lot of pressure. However, I can't take that risk. The one time I had to file a claim with my insurance company for business is due to a Whirlpool refrigerator water valve that lost the compression of the tube that it was going in, spit the tube out, flooded this guy's floor, just a small portion, and he got $10,000 out of the insurance company. Anybody who's got a business and has ever filed a claim knows that they never want to do it again, because then it makes your rates double. I'm going off on a tangent, but yeah, there are.
That's a good point.
There's some risky things when it comes to water out there. Don't want to do too much damage.
Two things that I have on my list for today, Kevin. One is the fill valve solenoids. So these are the valves on a washing machine. I'm talking about an agitator type now, clothes washer. So you've got the hot water fill valve and the cold water fill valve. And usually the cold water fill valve fails first. But you could always put hot water, in the washer. Or you could switch the hoses, switch the hot and cold, and then set the washing machine to hot, which really means cold, and keep going. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's a way around that problem. I can't say that I see one go bad quicker than the other. I actually don't have to replace valves that often, and often they'll corrode and they'll leak through the top of the solenoid.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a small leak that's constant, even when the washer is turned off, it's most likely that valve. So you want to locate that valve and just take a look at it. The tricky thing about valves is it can still have the correct resistance electrically, but still be faulty because of debris in the water line. You may also want to, if it's a washing machine, you may also want to take off the hose and look at the screen that goes into the valve. Sometimes you can take those out and clean them.
Right, and typically when they get plugged up, that would be with scale or lime, right? There's stainless steel screens inside, right where the hose connects to the washer. There's a little screen. It's convex, so it's an outward type of a screen. And it's about the size of a finger, the tip of a finger, and they get plugged up. So a toothbrush and some vinegar. I ought to fix that right away. We'll be right back. I've got a question about dishwasher drain hoses.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
In today's world, violent crime can victimize anyone, anytime. When violent crime confronts you, will you be able to protect yourself and your loved ones? For personal protection training, there's none better than FrontSight, the world's premier firearms training facility near Las Vegas, Nevada. Learn firearm skills from FrontSight's world-class instructors, led by FrontSight's founder and director, Dr. Ignatius Piazza. Whether you're in law enforcement, the military, or a private citizen, after your first firearm training course at FrontSight, you'll leave with skills that surpass 99% of the gun-owning population, guaranteed. And now, you and your family can train at FrontSight free of charge. Yes, free. Go now to frontsight.com/radio to secure a $2,000 four-day defensive handgun course. Absolutely free with no catch. Enter FrontSight.com/radio. Act now before these free courses are all taken. Secure your free four-day course at frontsight.com/radio. FrontSight, America's gun training destination.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
Kevin's with us, and he's in Florida, and we're talking about appliances. He's probably the youngest instructor we have here at USA Prepares. Kevin, we talked about fill valve solenoids. I bought a fill valve set. It's an assembly. It's about $12. Any comments on fill valves before I ask my next question?
No. Well, actually, one way you could test a valve is to take an old 120 power cord that comes off of, you know, a small appliance or something you throw away, cut it off, and attach some wire harnesses to the ends of each of the leads. And you can actually, if you know what you're doing and you're careful, you can actually plug those harnesses into the water valve and then plug that cord into the wall. Again, be very careful not to touch the metal or anything conductive. And you can actually test that valve by providing it with power on its own. That's one way to test them. That's about all I got on water valve.
Okay. So, class, here's a real serious question I have for Kevin, and this is about your health and safety. And it relates to automatic dishwashers, you know, those ones under the counter. So here's the question. So when I installed ours, obviously I hooked it up to electricity. I had the cabinet, I sized the cabinet so it would fit right in there. I secured it and all those things. I insulated the hot water pipe so it wouldn't lose heat. But the drain hose that comes out of the dishwasher, I routed into the next cabinet over, which is the sink-based cabinet where we have a double bowl kitchen sink, stainless steel, just like most of you have. And I routed that dishwasher drain hose all the way up to the bottom, the underside of the counter. So it's at the highest level under the kitchen cabinet that it could be. So the drain starts at the bottom of the dishwasher, goes through a hole in the cabinets, from one cabinet to from the dishwasher cabinet to the sink-based cabinet. And then it goes straight up, and it's secured to the underside of the counter at the highest level. And then it goes back down to the Y pipe for the sink drain. And the reason I did that was to prevent as much cross-connect of bacteria from the sink drain going back into the dishwasher. Kevin, your thoughts on doing that?
That is the only way to do it. You're supposed to have the drain hose go up to the height of the dishwasher so that gravity takes care of the rest and it doesn't backflow back into the dishwasher. If it does backflow into the dishwasher, you may have a bad check valve, depending on the model. But you may also want to check that the drain hose is raised enough. It's still going to leave some water in the bottom of the dishwasher, same with the washing machine, so it doesn't corrode and dry up the seals. I also recommend occasionally using a fresh cleaning tablets, or you can use baking soda if you want to make your own mixture. But I do find the fresh tablets are worth the money. So, yes, you're right on that. I want to add one more thing before I go. I've been wanting to talk about living without appliances because I probably, more than anyone else, get to see what people look like whenever they don't have one of their appliances in their lives for, you know, up to a week or so. And oftentimes, you know, as we would assume, people aren't prepared. So, you know, go ahead and buy an extra appliance. If you've got the space to store it, you've got some extra cash, go ahead and buy one. It would be a really good idea just in case a part of your living arrangement, your system, goes down. Buy an extra clothesline to dry your clothes. If you could find a washboard, maybe go and buy a washboard. You know, you don't need the dishwasher. You don't need the microwave. But you definitely need that refrigerator nowadays. So, you know, freeze any extra food that you have. As a survivalist and a prepper, your job is to have redundancy on all of your stock and all of your equipment. You know, you have the extra parts you need. I know a lot of this should go without saying for our class, but we just have to reiterate it because people just let their clothes pile up and let their food, you know, rot in coolers because they don't have that backup. They don't know how to go ahead and can or go ahead and use a dehydrator to take care of that food before it spoils. So, you know, just be prepared for one of your appliances to break within a year or so.
Yeah, and I would think the number one would be the refrigeration. So, yep, we've got a spare refrigerator. Yeah, we really do. And it's a used one, and it's got to be, well, maybe 25 or 30 years old. It's ready to go. It's ready to go. Kevin, when we store a used refrigerator, you know, like, let's say in the garage, do you recommend keeping it closed, keeping that gasket closed, or keeping it open a little bit to prevent mold? What's the best way to do that?
Keep it open with a cloth in there. Make sure it gets dried up. And also do the Vaseline tip that you have. Put a little Vaseline around the gasket.
Kevin, can you come back again?
I'd love to, Vincent. Thank you for having me so often.
Oh, you're welcome. Let's do it in a couple weeks. Kevin in Florida, our appliance technician, instructor. Thanks so much, Kevin. You're a wealth of knowledge.
I'm here with Scott Useum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.